Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. That's Rhino down there in Studio X. He's making sure everything runs smoothly. I wish he could fix my camera. That's big right there. See that right there? That's big. Wish we could do something about that, but oh well. We will press forward on and go onward. We are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau, my hometown. We'll be telling you throughout the show about some of the great things going on in Vicksburg, Mississippi. We'll be talking about some great things going on here in Starkville, Mississippi, at Mississippi State. Some good sports news to talk about here on a Wednesday night. We will start with baseball, where Mississippi State, coming off of a sweep of Auburn and coming off of a win last night against Memphis, and that's four wins in a row for the Bulldogs. Really interesting series coming up this weekend with Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt and Mississippi State both 10-8 in the conference. Vandy a little bit better in the non-conference. That's why they're ranked 11th and Mississippi State isn't. Obviously, it's in Nashville. So, you know, you're thinking in terms, okay, well, just don't get swept. Kind of keep where you've been the whole year on the road. State was able to get a game at Florida. They were able to get a game at Texas A&M. Can you do the same here in Nashville? And obviously that's got to be the way it goes. You picked up a game last weekend sweeping Auburn, right? So now you're two games over 500. You just give it right back if you don't get your game here against Vanderbilt. But now there is, you know, just very faint, very, very, like just a wisp on the air, just a faint soupçon of the possibility of Mississippi State hosting a regional. And I would have thought it possible going into conference play with State sitting there with five losses on this miserable non-conference schedule that they've played. But there is a very realistic path for State to get to 17 wins in the conference. They could win both. They could win their series against Alabama. They could sweep Missouri. And then if you don't get swept at Arkansas and at Vanderbilt, you're at 17 and 13. He could find a way to win one more game in there, and that would, I think, most likely would be winning a second game in Nashville. Then you're at 18 and 12. Now, State in 2014 went 18 and 12 and didn't host. I went back and looked. Their RPI going into the last weekend of the season was at 25. And they didn't make it. They didn't host. And they were kind of a similar situation in that they lost a bunch of non-conference games that year, and that killed their resume. And so State sort of has that same problem here with the non-conference losses. They have three losses to teams that are sub-200. They still have a game to play against a sub-250 team in North Alabama, and their three games against Missouri really aren't going to do them any favors RPI-wise either. Because the Missouri is currently 94th in the RPI. But the next 10 games, Vanderbilt currently 19th in the RPI. Then you have the Governor's Cup next Wednesday down there in Pearl, which, by the way, Sports Talk Mississippi and this show will be live at Trustmark Park. So that'll be, we've never done a live show. I've never done a live show with the game going on in the background. So that should be a lot of fun. But Ole Miss currently 22nd in the RPI. And then you play Alabama at home. They're 17th in the RPI. And then you go to Arkansas, and they're number two. So you have some opportunities here to get that RPI up. I think if State is sitting there around 25 again, and if they've got 17 or 18 conference wins, they will very much be in the discussion. Now, will they get there? I don't know.
because, I mean, if you look at the D1 projections from earlier today, they have Georgia not hosting, and Georgia is ninth in the RPI. Problem is they're 9-9 in conference play. So it's just a question of how many games are they going to win in conference play. State currently, as you look at it, they're the number two seed in the number three national seed regional at Clemson. Clemson, Mississippi State, Utah Army. Very intriguing matchup there in that first round. That's Gary Henderson's Utah team, former Mississippi State pitching coach, interim head coach, took the Bulldogs to the College World Series, and then was dismissed afterwards, and Chris Lemonis came in to replace him. So that would be a fascinating start. State, I got to give full credit, and I've done it throughout the year. You know, obviously, has very much exceeded my expectations for where this team was going to be. I thought they might only win 10 conference games all year. They've already got 10 with four series to go. They are very, very likely at this point. I mean, if you were going to put a percentage on it, 15 wins will get them into the NCAA tournament. So to get five of their last 12 games, I would put that. Don't want to jinx, but I feel like that would be close to a 90-plus percent chance of doing that. And then it's just as long as you don't lose to North Alabama, you should be just fine. I keep saying that. I mean, they have lost games to bad teams this year, so it's not out of the realm of possibility that something terrible could happen there. That would be an absolute killer. And the best-case scenario is for State to do what Ole Miss did a couple years ago, and that's find a way to cancel that game. Ole Miss canceled a late game with Arkansas State, and if they had played that game, it would have affected their RPI to the point where they might not have gotten into the tournament. And that's the tournament they won the national title in. So I might see Chris Lemonis trying to seed the clouds for rain that day. Something needs to happen. State really doesn't need to play that game. But they're just a much better baseball team than I thought they would be. When is the last time that no Mississippi team hosted a regional? Ooh, that's a good question. 16, 15, did 14, I know Ole Miss hosted. In 15, if Southern Miss didn't host, then it didn't happen. So I need to look that up, I guess. I'll do that as we're talking here. But this team is just a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And what's funny is I don't truly know why that is. I don't know why Mississippi State is that much better than that. So Southern Miss didn't go to the tournament in 2015. So 2015 is the correct answer. It's been 8 years since there was not a Mississippi team hosting. Because I mean, Kyle Stephens has obviously been a lot better than I projected him to be. But then you have Nate Dome, who hasn't pitched in weeks and just doesn't appear like he's going to anytime soon. So that kind of balances each other out. They've struggled in the bullpen. They don't have a whole ton of consistency throughout the lineup. The main thing with them is they've just been better at not walking guys and not playing bad defense. It leads me to believe if they could have done that a year ago, they would have probably been a postseason team then. That's the biggest thing. I mean, I don't know if there's a Broyles Award in college baseball for the best assistant coach of the year, but Justin Parker is definitely worthy of that because he has done a great job of turning this team around as far as they don't give away bases the way they did a season ago. That's a huge thing. Jeremy in Columbia, what's up? Hey, Dad, love the show. I was at the Dude on Sunday, and it was outstanding. What stood out to me was Harden relief for that second game. Maybe he can be the guy that steps up out of the bullpen. He's the best candidate. Tyson Harden, by the way, huge turnaround. Very reminiscent. A friend of mine texted me, said he's the new Chad Girardeau. And I agree with that. There was a time when Chad Girardeau's career, when if he came into the game, that was the signal that the game was over. And I don't mean it in a good way. It meant that State just needed to get through the next couple of innings to end the game, and Girardeau was out there to pitch. And then Chad Girardeau turned into an unhittable reliever. And that's why Mississippi State played for a national title in 2013. He was a big piece of it. Last year, Tyson Harden was that guy. Tyson Harden's ERA last year was above 10. He was one of the worst pitchers in America last year. This year, he's been really, really good and showed you this weekend that maybe he can be that guy out of the bullpen, which State desperately needs. If they had found a reliable closer, that we wouldn't be having these discussions. they would already be locked into possibly a hosting spot, definitely locked into the NCAA tournament. They do not make as many errors in the field, but they may not walk as many, but they make a lot of base running mistakes. That's true. They do make some base running mistakes. And I don't mind the aggressiveness, but at the same time, the one you saw on Sunday from Aaron Downs is, I mean, that's just an inexcusable mistake. That's something that just, it can't happen at this level. That's like a little league mistake. So they do give away, they don't give away the free bases, but they will give away the outs every now and then when they're batting. So, all right. We're going to switch gears and talk football when we come back. Mississippi State had its spring game. What did I take away from it? What didn't I take away from it? That might be the bigger question. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. Plus, I want to talk about something that was being reported by my friend Robbie Falk regarding Mississippi State and some facilities upgrades. I want to talk a little bit about that because I got some questions, and I got something I want to talk about, and just some things State's doing doesn't make a lot of sense to me. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
I don't know that one, Rhino. What is it?
That is Head Crusher by Megadeth.
Head Crusher. I like that. Very good. This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. That was Rhino you just heard. He is spinning the tunes for us tonight. We're brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. They want to let you know this weekend is the Vicksburg Pickleball Open Tournament. 8 a.m. start over at Halls Ferry Park, 257 Halls Ferry Park Road. A $60 registration fee. That includes one event, and then you can play any other event for $10 a piece. That is sanctioned by the Southern Pickleball Association. This weekend, 8 a.m., the Vicksburg Pickleball Open Tournament. This past Saturday at Davis-Wade Stadium, Mississippi State had its spring game. You know, I'm a critical guy, as you know. If you've listened to this show, if you ever listened to the podcast or anything, I tend to be critical of things. I'm going to give credit where it's due. I thought what State came up with as far as the scoring system for that game made it the most exciting spring game I've ever been a part of. Now, that's kind of a skinnier than Hey Dad comment, right? That's, you know, you can still be fat if you're skinnier than me. It wasn't exactly an exciting game. It's just practice. But the fact that every drive and every possession had something on the line, I bought into that. I thought it was an exciting game. And, I mean, at the end of the day, putting out a graphic that says final score is 67-56, that grabs people's attention. People look at that and go, oh, that had to be fun to watch. That had to be cool. I might want to check that out. What are they doing down there? You know, if they send out a graphic and it's 27-10, who cares? Just another spring game. So give Mississippi State full credit for that. I thought it was really well designed and well run. Even the idea that the offense got points when it punted. I don't know quite how that worked, but fine, it worked. What did I take away from it? Well, first and foremost, the first thing I took away is that Blake Shapen's really good. I mean, he's a guy, you know, we're going to play the caveat of if he can stay healthy all year because it's a legitimate concern. But if he can, he's got the talent to lead this offense and be successful. The deep ball was pretty effortless for him and very accurate. You know, it's one thing to throw the deep ball. It's another thing to throw it accurately. When you go back and rewatch the film, which I've done, you know, even the balls that were incomplete are pretty much on target, right? There's just defensive back made a play, or it's just a little over there, but it's not, you're not seeing balls go way over people's heads or being way underthrown. You're hitting receivers in stride. He got rid of the ball quickly, I thought. He showed you that he can find, you know, he can process through the offense quickly. And when we talked to Cole Kublik, which I did, and I encourage you to go check that out on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, he talks about this is a simple offense in terms of getting the reads and making the decisions. And I thought Shapen showed you that. I thought State's receivers looked good. You know, Kelly Akari, Kevin Coleman, Mario Craver, Stonka Burnside were the four that stood out to me the most. And I thought that, you know, especially Akari looks like a number one SEC receiver. Again, I know it's just practice. I know it's just a scrimmage. But State didn't have a guy that looked like him last year that could go get the ball, but was also a bigger physical target. Coleman, the same way. And then Craver is going to be the speed guy, I think. Creed Whittemore didn't get to play, but he's a guy I would also foresee a big role for. Also to see the tight ends be successful, I thought was very encouraging. Sadu Traore, Cam Ball, both had pretty good games for Mississippi State. You know, Traore is such an interesting guy, had a huge year at Arkansas State. Then he got caught up in the Colorado thing, and then he transfers. I mean, he would have played last year if the rules that are in place now would have were in place then. I think Mississippi State fans should be thankful that those rules weren't in place, because he would have been wasted and he might have been frustrated and decided to transfer out. Instead, he knows that in this offense he has a chance to play a big, big role. I think he had five or six catches, a couple of short ones, but he also had a couple of catches down the field. So I was impressed by that. Defensively, what I took from it is this. State got off to a good start defensively in this scrimmage. I think they held the offense scoreless the first three possessions. And one of the things I've been saying, you know, when I talk about Ole Miss over the past 4 or 5 years, or I guess the past 4 years with Kiffin now going into his fifth season, is that one of the things they do really well is that they get out early. They make you play from behind. You know, some teams, now sometimes defensively they're not able to hold on to those leads, but it, I mean, if you're playing with a 10-0, 14-0 lead, it does change what the other teams want to do. And then if you can just keep up the pace, you're going to win the game. So maybe State can be a little bit of that this year. That's what you would have to hope, right? Because I don't think defensively they can hold up and be dominating whole games. But can they get a couple of stops early and settle into the game? Meanwhile, the offense gets some points on the board, and that's how State wins. That's what I think that's the best case scenario for State defensively this year, is that they're able to just get some stops early in the game and try to set the tone that way. And because I think if you're asking them to just constantly grind out stops, I don't know that they've got the depth and the talent to do that. But, I mean, they are good enough to get a couple of stops, especially early in the game when everybody's trying to feel things out. So we'll have to see how that works. But I came away, am I going to walk out of that? Did I walk out of the stadium saying, okay, yeah, this is an 8-9 win team? No, nothing like that. Nothing I saw made me think I need to change my prediction even. I'm going to stick with 6-6, and I think that's just kind of where they're going to be. If they can add some players through the portal here, if Damian Martinez were to commit to Mississippi State and Rashad Amos were to fully commit to Mississippi State, then offensively maybe they're good enough that they can win that seventh game. If they could find two or three difference makers defensively, maybe they'd be good enough to win that seventh game. But right now 6-6 just feels right to me. But I will say that I was encouraged by what I saw. And I think they're closer to 7-5 than they are to 5-7, if that makes sense. But 6-6 to me just feels right. So earlier today on 3, my friend Robbie Falk posts about Mississippi State about to release or about to send out a survey to a few thousand people about potential facility upgrades to Davis-Wade Stadium. And wants to get the thoughts of the fans, and that could be coming out as emails, and you know, please send them in. I would certainly encourage you to participate in that first and foremost. But my issue is this: you don't need to send out 1,000 emails or however many, 10,000 emails, to know that the sound system in Davis-Wade Stadium is not adequate. It should just be replaced. There shouldn't be any issue with that. It should just be, that's not acceptable, replace it. LED lights, that's a thing that you know that you need. And I understand if, you know, you want to flush out the bid process and get the best situation. I get that. But that's something that should have been going on already. It shouldn't just be starting. We certainly shouldn't be waiting for the results of a survey to tell us, hey, we need to get with 2024 and put LED lights into this stadium. If you want to talk about fan experience, if you want to talk about some things along those, I understand that you need those emails, you need that feedback. You don't need the feedback to say the speakers suck at Davis-Wade Stadium. All right? If you're in the press box, you cannot hear the speakers. I assume it's the same way throughout the stadium. Most people will tell you that it is. That's something that needs to be fixed immediately. And this just sort of goes back to something we talked about on yesterday's Thunder and Lightning podcast, that it just feels like too many times Mississippi State is hesitant. That, you know, instead of just committing, hey, let's do this and we'll figure it out. We're going to make it work and we'll do the best we can. And, you know, I understand that this is a business and it costs money. I understand all that kind of stuff. I get that. But I just feel like State is so hesitant sometimes to change. And they kick the can down the road too many times. Again, you don't need a survey to tell you that you can't hear the speakers at Davis Wade Stadium. That it's a poor sound quality. You know? That's not something you need feedback on. Just do it. Just fix it. So, again, I encourage you to take the survey. And when we're talking about fan experience and things of that nature, by all means, let the university know what you think can be improved at Davis Wade Stadium. And it's good that they're reaching out and wanting to get your voice, but at the same time, there are some certain things that you don't need surveys for. Just fix them. Everybody will be happy. No one is going to complain that the speakers got fixed at Davis Wade Stadium. Nobody's going to wake up one morning and go, I can't believe they did that. Why would they do that? No, nobody's going to do it. So just fix it. Don't wait on the survey results. If you're listening, if you're within the sound of my voice, just go ahead and put the call in tomorrow morning. Like, hey, by the way, can we get these speakers up to par? Can we make that happen? I think everybody will be happier for it. I don't know. The way that this university sometimes delays the inevitable bothers me. I mean, obviously they're going to put in LED lights. Obviously they're going to fix the speaker system at some point. Why wait? Why not just go ahead and get on top of it? That's something that from game one last year you should have known you needed to do. Hopefully it'll get fixed before too long. Because you continue to fall behind you're just falling behind. You're trying to catch up to the next team. They're already moving on to the next thing. Something to think about. All right. Back in a minute. Let's talk recruiting when we come back. We'll do that. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
So how do you know?
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
We're back here on Thunder and Lightning. Brian Haydad, Rhino down there in Studio X. I want to remind you guys that as we are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg, also this weekend happening in Vicksburg, the Miss Mississippi Outstanding Teen Pageant, Saturday, 2 o'clock, Sunday, 3 o'clock at the Vicksburg City Auditorium on Monroe Street. Two preliminary competitions on April 22nd, so that's already come and gone. Rhino, we have a confusing read here, Rhino. I don't know what to do. Should I just bail out?
Nah.
It's got four different dates on here. This is April 27th, 28th, but in the read it says April 22nd and 23rd. Might want to visit miss-mississippi.com for more information. We'll just put it that way. Or call 601-638-6746, and they'll get you taken care of. I'm checking my next read just to make sure the dates are all correct. All right. Hey, Mississippi State got a commitment. You know what that means. Play the song, Rhino.
Creepin', 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 creepin'. Creepin', 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 creepin'. Creepin'.
Tyshawn Willis is the name. Four-star linebacker out of Velma Jackson High School in Camden, Mississippi. I mean, be a little weird, you know. Well, you know where I'm going with that. I will say this. You know, Velma Jackson, a 1A school, played for the 1A state championship a season ago. If you're an SEC player at a 1A school, you better have some stupid stats. The kind of stats that just go, really? Really? I mean, stuff that looks like it's off of not only a video game, but a video game where you were playing on easy mode. Well, good news. Tyshawn Willis has those stats. Last season as a junior, 113 tackles, 30 tackles for loss, 20 and a half sacks, 15 quarterback hurries, 3 pass breakups, 2 fumble recoveries that he returned for a touchdown, 2 forced fumbles, and he blocked a 2-point conversion. Also had about 600 yards of total offense and 9 touchdowns for Velma Jackson. That'll do. That has my attention. If you're going to tell me you're playing 1A football and you're putting up stats like that, I'll believe you can play in the SEC. Absolutely. So, like I said, 4-star kid. You know, it's still you know, only 4 high school kids right now in the class. It's a different day in recruiting here at Mississippi State, and this is the way it really should be. Be selective with your high school guys. Be sure about them, and then the portal fills everything else up. You know, if you asked me right now how many high school kids I think State will sign at the end of things, I don't know, 15 to 17 maybe, and then you play the rest of the way. I mean, just looking here in the state of Mississippi, obviously Caleb Cunningham is priority one for Mississippi State. They'd love to flip Tyler Miller from LSU. We'll see how that goes. I don't think they can flip a Kalen Deer from Ole Miss. I think he'll end up being a Rebel. Kamario Taylor already locked in. I think they'll get a commitment soon from Tyler Lockhart. Looking at the top 10 on 0-3, by the way. Andrew Maddox, Ole Miss. Jacoby Hobson committed to Ole Miss earlier this week. There's Tyshawn Willis. Mario Nash, State will take him. They'll take Micah Jones if they can get him. He'll probably end up at Ole Miss. State will take Cortez Thomas if they can get him. They'll take Anson Lewis and Kevin Otis and Reginald. There's some good talent in the state this year. Beyond that, I mean, I think State's just going to be really selective with their high school guys. And I think what you're seeing from State in the portal this week is that, you know, some of these guys that State has recruited because they were Mississippi kids through the year and you just felt like maybe they would fit the bill of that traditional, underrated, underdeveloped Mississippi kid, I think those days are kind of over for Mississippi State right now. You know, will they end up taking some of those kids? Yeah, because they're going to miss out on some of the higher-ranked kids. They always will, and they're going to want to just build some depth and see if they can't take a chance on some guys. But I don't see, you know, I just don't see State taking a lot of chances going forward. And if they do, it's going to be, it seems like you're saying be Ole Miss. I mean, if you're Mississippi State, would you not like to be a preseason top 10 team with being favored to be in the college football playoff? Feels like a pretty simple yes to me. Yeah, the portal is, you know, definitely the future of college football at this time. And if you don't recruit the portal well, and you're not a little more selective on your high school slots, you're in trouble. So yeah, I mean, if that's how you want to take it, feels like that's what every college team that's not Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State is going to be doing. Is going to be, I mean, that's what those schools do. They recruit 5-star high school kids and build their depth up that way, and then they're selective in the portal. That's why Ohio State goes in the portal, they get Quinshon Judkins and Caleb Downs. They're not looking to get 20 starters from the portal. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, I would like State to be a preseason top 10 team, like Ole Miss is going to be this year. So if that's the game plan to get there, it makes sense to do it. Yeah, I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to get No, guys, that's not how we work here. That's not how it's going to go. It's not going to go the way you thought it did. It's okay. Hey, speaking of the portal. A lot of action there for Mississippi State. And obviously a lot of it's going out. And if you listen to this show, if you listen to Sports Talk, if you listen to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, I've been telling you, State's going to have guys leave. Guys, there's no spot for them anymore. And you're seeing, you know, a couple of offensive linemen, Zay Alexander and Jaden Hobson, out. A couple of linebackers, well, Avery Sledge moved to safety, but he and Khalid Moore, out. I mean, these are guys who they haven't played, and they weren't going to play, and so good luck to them. You know, this is the unpopular decision, tough decision, however you want to put it. They've got to be made. You've got to get this roster better. And if there's one thing I've determined about Jeff Lebby early on in his tenure is that he will recruit over guys without thinking about it. And that is the way it has to be. This is a business. This is about winning. It's not about personal feelings. And so that's why you see State get a commitment from Rashad Amos and then continue to recruit a running back in Damian Martinez. And it may end up costing them Amos, but if that's the case, so be it. You have to continue to improve. That's why State is being linked with Jaden Rashada, despite the fact that Blake Shapen looks like a tremendous quarterback prospect. If you can get better, do it. And so that just makes sense. That's just the way it needs to be. It's not the way it, I mean, it doesn't make any other sense to do anything else for Mississippi State. They have to continue to improve at every position. They are not where they want to be talent-wise at almost any position group on that field. They would take another wide receiver if the right guy was interested. They would take another offensive lineman if the right guy was interested, and they will take another quarterback, and they will certainly grab some running backs. Lebby said after the game that he was looking for running back, cornerback, edge rusher, and an offensive lineman. So State's going to continue to be active in the portal. And goes back to something we've been saying here, and we've been saying it everywhere. The name on the back of the jersey has got to be irrelevant for you at this point. You got to cheer for the helmet. If you start putting yourself in a position where you're like, oh, I really like this kid, and I think he's going to be a great Bulldog, you're going to look up in a couple of weeks, or maybe even a year, and that guy's not going to be there anymore. So just worry about, you know, the guys that are playing that week. That's what college football is right now. You guys know I've been a proponent of NIL, and I've been a proponent of the transfer portal. I think these players should have the same freedoms that every other American has. But I will tell you that it's wearing on me, man. Every time you look on Twitter, there's somebody else in the portal. And it's like, it's a bit much at this point. There has to come a point where you just, this is where we're stopping. I know you have transfer windows for where you can't go in, but it's not stopping kids. They're just getting in the portal and waiting for the next window. So they got to figure some things out on that front. Like I said, I don't have a huge issue with it. But it's just, you know, from my perspective, it's just tough to keep up. I'm a very old man, by the way. I don't know if you guys are aware of that or not. So, like, I never know who's coming or going anymore. Expect more. Probably five or six more guys need to leave. State's got freshmen coming in, too. I think they're sitting at 85 right now. They got some freshmen coming in that they got to make room for. So they got to get down. So five or six more guys probably gone. I mean, you can, and it would not take much. Just look at the roster. Look who are sophomores, redshirt freshmen that did not play last year. And certainly if you can find a junior who's not in the two deep, those are guys that you're likely to be processed out at this point. And that's just the nature of the beast for Mississippi State. They will continue to work the portal. I don't know if it's going to I don't know what's going to happen with this running back situation. I know that State is, they want one of these guys. They feel good about Martinez, but until he gets done with that Miami visit, it's going to be tough. I think he ends up a Hurricane, but we'll see how that pans out for Mississippi State. We'll figure it out. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap things up. Oh, and I got some news about tomorrow's Sports Talk Mississippi that you're going to want to hear. We got a big guest lined up. I'm sure you can figure out who it is. We'll talk about it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Yep. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Thank you.
All right, let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. We're brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. This Saturday, April the 27th, the annual Old Courthouse Museum Flea Market from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. is around the Old Courthouse Museum on 1008 Cherry Street. Arts and crafts, food booths, nothing more southern than a good flea market, right? Especially at the Old Courthouse Museum in Vicksburg, Mississippi, which if you've never toured it, I certainly agree. If you're a big Civil War person, that's a good place. You put it on your list of things to do. But check it out. This Saturday, 8 to 5, the Old Courthouse Museum flea market down there in Vicksburg. Some big news. We got a good guest tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. Starting off the 4 o'clock hour, 4:06, Mississippi State head football coach Jeff Levy will join us to talk about his first spring in Starkville, what he got from the spring game, and what the portal is going to look like for him going forward. So don't miss that tomorrow. Top of the 4 o'clock hour, 4:06 p.m. We will have Mississippi State head football coach Jeff Levy on with us. That'll be his second time live here on Sports Talk Mississippi in, what, the 4 or 5 months since he's been hired. So he's ahead of somebody else. Just saying. I don't know why Lane won't come on with us. I just, what are you afraid of? I'm not going to bite. I just come on, coach. Jump on. Jump in the water with us. It'll be fun. Have a good time. Ryan, did you hear my story today about from Ole Miss, what happened to me? Did you hear that earlier on Sports Talk Mississippi? So if y'all missed that, earlier today I was at lunch. I got a phone call from Oxford. I just let it go to voicemail. Long story short, Ole Miss was calling to see if I wanted to buy season tickets to Ole Miss football. So I called them back. I let them know. I was very nice about it, but I let them know that I'm not on that side of the fence here in this state. And if they would, please, just to take me off the list. And the guy on the phone, Carl, couldn't have been nicer, very professional. We had a laugh. He wished State luck this season. I wished Ole Miss luck. And there we go. So you wish you could have seen my face when I listened to my voicemail, and it's like, we were from the Ole Miss Athletic Department interested in buying season tickets this year. It's like,
no. No.
I'll buy one ticket. I'll buy the one for the final game of the year. I'll buy that one from you. Other than that, though, you know, I guess, you know, honestly, I probably should have taken him up on it, because I could probably get my money back plus for Ole Miss if they're as good as, you know, we think they're going to be. I may have made a mistake here, Rhino. I may should have invested in a little ticket speculation, if you will. I'm not much for that, though. I don't like, you know, I see those scalpers out there every week, and I'm just like, get a job. Like, I don't like those guys. But at the same time, you know, if they're willing to pay, I guess I could do that. I should have done that. Now I'm feeling regret. I should have been like, how much can I get them for? Oh well. This portal, man. Every day I'm looking up somebody new is in there, and I mean, it's not just a Mississippi State thing. Obviously, it's everywhere. I mean. Today, Alabama lost a guy. Georgia just lost a guy. You know, so on and so forth. I didn't mention, by the way, Mississippi State made a couple of portal pickups in basketball. Most notably, Claudel. Oh, gosh, what was his last name? It wasn't Washington, because that guy played for the Braves. What was his name? Harris. Claudel Harris from Boston College. Averaged 13 points a game last year for the Eagles. A really good guard for Mississippi State to add to its rotation with Kanye Clary and Josh Hubbard. That's a really solid backcourt. They got work to do in the front court, but they've got some pieces there to work with. And I think he may have committed after this week's show, or last week's show. Michael Nwoko from Miami is center. He's more of a project, a little bit more. You know, I think State is still in the market for another starting center. They would like to not have to start Nwoko, but if they can't find anybody, well then, guess what, buddy, the job's yours. Just take it from there. So, Jans has been a little hit or miss in the portal, really, the past couple of years. And even some of the guys he hit on, you know, you look at like Andrew Taylor and Eric Reed, haven't actually been hits long term. So, maybe need a little bit more consistency there from Chris Jans in the portal. And Sam Purcell, I'm telling you, every sport, it's the portal. That's all we talk about. One other thing we do, I did want to mention, tomorrow on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, I have an interview with Coach Charlie Ewing. He is the head women's golf coach here at Mississippi State. Just won the SEC championship and getting ready to head to the NCAA tournament. So talk to him a little bit about his team, some of his players, and what... I also had this question. What does a golf coach do during the match? It's not like you're calling plays. Hey, on this play, on this shot, I think you should get it in the hole. All right, let's go with that. Let's go get it on the hole. Get it in the hole. On two. On two. Ready? Break. I don't know what they do. So I found out. So check that out tomorrow on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed. Appreciate you guys tuning in on a Wednesday night. Back again next week, live from Pearl at Trustmark Park and the Governor's Cup. For Rhino, down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.